Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new guest to the show. His name is Octavio Marenzi. He is the CEO of Opimus LLC, based in Paris. Now, Octavio, you and I have been chatting off mic for a little bit. I was asking you, you know, what are you most focused on? What do you think is a key topic here that investors and just even the average citizen needs to understand about these markets? And you brought up the fact of, well, there's major bifurcation between what's going on in the markets and what's actually going on in Main Street, essentially economic data here. And there's no doubt the economy has been crushed this year from a lot of these lockdowns, and hopefully we're starting to come out of it. But quite frankly, the economy is still struggling. We still have high unemployment almost around the world compared to where we were about a year ago. But we're seeing markets at all-time highs, especially in the U.S. Yeah, we're getting a little pullback today, but man, oh man, we see sentiment levels at levels we haven't seen since 2000. So, Octavio, in your eyes, what are some of the key factors that are causing this bifurcation of markets compared to the economy?
Well, I think the key factor is really that the Federal Reserve has thrown everything at the markets that it could imagine and think of, and has come up with all sorts of new creative ways of pumping money into the market. So we've basically seen the Fed, starting back in March and April, when they saw the markets, you know, have that sort of period of unpleasantness where they're going down quite sharply, panic really, and come up with all sorts of new creative mechanisms and facilities to buy corporate bonds and commercial paper and muni bonds and basically anything that moved they were out there buying or saying they would buy. And that money, of course, flows back into the equities markets as well, and has driven that up. So it's almost as if the only game in town really has become the Fed and what the Fed is doing. And many of these stock prices, I think, at this stage are quite difficult to justify in any sort of fundamentals. But it's just driven by very, very loose monetary policy and monetary injections from the Fed and other central banks around the world, but especially the Fed. The Fed has been far more creative and aggressive than virtually anyone else.
So how important is it coming up for a potential U.S. spending bill? Because that's the one thing the Fed and Jerome Powell have been pointing to, saying we've done everything we can. We now need something more to monetize that falls on the U.S. government.
Well, I think from his perspective, I'm not necessarily saying I agree with the perspective that a spending bill or a stimulus bill will necessarily help that much in the medium or long term. It will certainly help some sectors. So obviously, if as part of the stimulus bill, you're going to get some spending on travel stocks or help the airlines or help hospitals and pharmaceuticals and things like that, those sectors will definitely be helped. I think a bigger question, though, is does the economy overall benefit from that kind of stimulus? Because you're basically taking money away from one group and you're giving it to another, and you have to question, is that really going to help and make things better overall? So I think that's sort of, in my mind, an open question. Now, has the Fed really done everything that they can? I mean, they can print unlimited amounts of money. So if they really wanted to, they could print some more money and go and buy some more bonds and maybe get even further into the yield curve, into the maturity curve. And they could even start to do creative things like actually buying equities directly if they felt that was necessary. We have seen some other central banks in other parts of the world do that. In China, for example, a couple of years ago, the central bank started buying equities. So they could do that directly as well. So I don't think they're out of things. I mean, they can literally print an unlimited amount of money and keep things going that way. So I don't think it's really fair to say they've run out of things to do at this stage. There's still lots of things they could do and lots of money they could pump in if they felt the need to do so.
And doesn't that just further validate, though, that whole concept of the Fed put? So the Fed has your back in these markets, because if anything really bad happens to the markets, then the Fed gets reactive. And yeah, maybe they do just, again, continue to print money almost unlimitedly to help support the markets. And it's more on the markets than the economy, it seems like, what the Fed is at least focused on.
Yes, I mean, the Fed, of course, does stimulate the bond markets and the equities markets, one directly and one a bit indirectly. So, and they've also said they're going to carry on with this monetary policy for the foreseeable future. So for the next couple of years, at least, we're going to see this continue. But we have seen, as soon as the Fed sort of starts to think even about increasing interest rates and pulling back a bit, the markets crash and collapse. And so that is something that has them a bit spooked and worried. And I guess they're sort of kicking the can down the road a bit. I think most people think, or the majority of people think, we're sort of let's say, in a bubble. It seems like things are overvalued by quite a bit at this stage, and they're scared about pulling back. So what would make them pull back eventually, I guess, is if inflationary pressures start to mount and it starts to look like prices go up, and that makes people very, very unhappy. And that then creates a fair amount of political pressure on them to do something about it. But that doesn't seem to be happening too quickly, and it might be a few years before they finally start to realize, okay, we need to increase interest rates. And in that stage, I would expect everyone to run for the doors at the same time and pull the market down with it. So they've backed themselves into a corner. I wouldn't want to be them at this stage, but that's where things stand, I think, overall.
So it sounds like in terms of that inflation argument or question, if inflation is going to ramp up, you, even though we are seeing some of these other assets like copper move higher and the US dollar continue to move lower, some of these things do tell us that inflation might be on the horizon. You're not buying into some of these moves?
Well, no, I mean, you could argue that the stock market going up, that's kind of price inflation as well, and housing prices going up is inflation as well. It's just that the government tends to measure inflation based on a basket of goods that's well removed from those kinds of prices. So if you were to include all those things, you'd have a very different inflation measure. But certainly if you look at sort of consumer staples and things like that, it's been fairly subdued so far. Now, eventually, that money that the Fed has created is going to find itself into broader circulation, and then we'll see the price of rice and other things start to creep up as well. Eventually, I think that has to happen. It's been extraordinary how limited the price increases have been just to assets, real estate and stocks and bonds and things of that sort. That seems to be where all the action has been. But eventually that money does get into broader circulation and will increase inflationary pressures on a variety of different goods. So we will see that eventually. I can't tell you when. It's a bit of a fool's errand to try and predict these things, but eventually things will move in that direction as they always have.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right that we might not be seeing inflation in terms of the government numbers, but that whole price inflation or market inflation, that has been a key story really over the last decade. So Octavia, what markets are you watching? What markets do you think could benefit from this kind of confused environment that we are in right now?
Well, I think we talked a bit before about sort of the price of gold and where that is going, and that has certainly seen a big run-up over the course of the past couple of years. Not so much the past few months, where it's pulled back a bit from the record highs that it set back in August, but that still seems to be an asset class that could benefit from this. And there's different kinds of investors that buy gold. There's sort of the inflation hawks or the kind of people I just mentioned who sort of view gold as a hedge against inflation. There's other people that look at gold as a hedge against any sort of political uncertainty. And I guess in the run-up to the election in the US, I think there were some fears that things would become a bit unhinged, and that seems to have subdued now. So that's why we've seen sort of the price of gold come down recently, I think. But as inflationary pressures continue, as the Fed continues pumping money out, it should support the price of gold quite nicely. So I would expect that to do reasonably well over the next year or two. And then there's certain sectors that have benefited from sort of the lockdowns, which seem to be coming back. You know, we talked a bit about in the US, the lockdowns coming back in certain areas. There's been announcements in California and in Los Angeles County and other areas. In the rest of the world, lockdowns are back as well. So those stocks that benefit from lockdowns are going to continue to do really well. And of course, those areas such as retailing or brick and mortar retailing are going to be suffering again. So that's really how things look, I think, for the next 6 months. And we were talking about how grateful we're going to be when 2020 comes to an end. What I'm afraid of is that these kinds of lockdowns are going to become almost a permanent feature of our lives, that's going to be just the way things are into the future. And that any time we see any sort of new virus pop up or a couple infections of this virus or that virus or a flu virus or a swine virus or anything like that, that the governments are going to tend to want to lock things down again, that they become very trigger happy about new epidemics and perhaps overreact to them as they appear again.
Yeah, that's pretty terrifying to think about, but I do see why you think that is a possibility. It definitely is a possibility, but I don't know. Hopefully that won't happen because that has just been devastating for the economy and for small businesses. Octavia, I do need to ask you because you are based in Paris. It sounds like you're not paying that much attention to what the ECB is going to be doing this week. I know that a lot of it is priced in, but does the ECB carry a heavy hand in these markets right now?
Well, I think the ECB has almost shot all of its ammunition in terms of what it can do with interest rates. So they've pushed interest rates into sort of the absurd territory where we've seen negative interest rates across a whole bunch of government bonds in Europe. So it doesn't look like there's much further they can push it. I mean, at a certain stage, you can only get so negative on a bond and people will stop buying them. So I think the ECB didn't have as much room for maneuver as the Fed did going to this crisis. They had already basically spent their ammunition. So I don't think that the ECB is going to move things that much at this stage. But perhaps they'll surprise us. Perhaps they'll pull out all sorts of new facilities as well, the way the Fed has done. I don't think that's in the cards, though. I think they sort of are a bit worried that they've gone too far in terms of monetary easing, and I don't expect them to go much further. So, yes, we're watching them, but I don't expect any big surprises coming out of them.
Okay. Octavio, we're going to wrap it up here. Very nice having you on the show. Really appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts. I'm definitely going to be inviting you back on the show to keep up to date with, A, what's going on in your area, so in Paris and in and around Europe, but also how everyone around you is viewing these markets, because it is still very much a focus on the Fed. And, well, again, we're also still waiting for that government funding bill out of the U.S. So interesting to follow along with these markets, especially at the end of the year. Octavio, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.